You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. When we think of therapy or support animals helping children, our minds almost instinctively go to dogs or horses. But a groundbreaking new study out of Oregon State University is challenging that common perspective by looking at a much more common and often underestimated household pet, the cat. The study, which was co-led by our guest today, has found that structured cat training can significantly improve social behaviors, increase physical activity, and build deep bonds for children with developmental disabilities, while making the cats themselves also more confident and social. To help us learn more about this remarkable research is Megan McDonald. She's a professor of kinesiology and the head of the School of Exercise, Sport, and Health Sciences at Oregon State. Welcome to the Exchange, Professor.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, tell us about this new study and your co-author.
Well, we have been really thrilled with this study. It's been something that we've been slowly working up to for years. My colleague and I do some similar work with dogs, but she has been talking to me probably for like 6 to 7 years now about really thinking about doing some of this work with cats. And she really convinced me in a whole host of ways. I think you mentioned it leading into this, but about 49 million U.S. households have cats, and not everyone has access to dogs and horses, like you shared when we're talking about animal-assisted interventions. So this study is something that was funded by the National Institutes of Health. We were pleased to have it, and we had about 36 children between 8 and 17 and their family cat. That's another key thing with this study, participate in a cat-assisted training study. So about half of the kids were assigned to the intervention group, which was training with their cat. It took place over the course of about 6 sessions for 45 minutes, and about half of the kids were assigned to a waitlist control. So what that means is that they didn't get the intervention right away. They got it after we were able to collect all of the data. So everyone still had access to the intervention. We just delayed the start so that we could collect some information and really get into the research side of it. So ultimately, the kids came with their pet cat. We had our researchers there who were trained with working with kids with disabilities and also working with animals, including cats, who have really specific training in these areas. So this included undergraduate students at Oregon State University who are part of the team, as well as graduate students like PhD students and master's students. And the kids were there with their cat for about 45 minutes, really working through meeting the kids where they were at with their cats, doing things like common things you might think of with like dog training, like teaching the cat to sit, having the cat respond to its name, using things like food and positive reinforcement, like playing or giving the cat food to sort of learn these behaviors. And a really important part of this study, because these cats were a part of the family already and in the home, was the homework assignments that the kids were given. So for example, every child had the opportunity to either have a harness and a leash for their cat, and that was something that they were taught how to use properly, how to put it on, and sort of how to teach their cat how to walk on a leash. But most of them chose a cat backpack for their walking, to walk with their cat. So that was really fun. So that was a part of something that the study provided. So they either we provided a harness and a leash for the cat, or we provided the cat backpack. And the kids learned how to put their cats in the backpack, sort of trained their cats how to like the backpack, how to be comfortable in the backpack. And then they had homework like going for a walk with their cat.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, Professor, because what you're describing is blowing my mind. Okay, so cats, or anyone that has been around cats, knows cats, have cats, know that cats are notoriously fickle. I mean, they basically have their own idea of who runs the roost, and it's usually them. I hear you saying that cats can be trained, that cats can be walked, that children actually have agency to train these children, train these cats. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, tell me about the process that you and your co-author went through to decide, hey, cats might be a good idea.
Well, I think you're sort of hitting on something that my colleague was trying to convince me for years. So I have cats and dogs at home and have been a cat owner for as long as I can remember. And so she sort of did what you're doing to me. She was like, you know, they're very trainable. And so the process is they really are, I think, to your point, we don't always put the same training effort in with cats that we do with dogs in the home, for example. But similar to dogs, we're kind of using very similar processes. So one of the things that we do in this study to really get started is see what that bond looks like currently with the child and their cat. So there are some tests that we do, for example. We'll have video cameras. We'll have a small room with, like, toys and other common things that you would see in a pet store for cats, like balls, little toy mice, those kinds of things. Just to sort of see how the child plays with their cat, whether the cat behavior is scared, whether they're afraid, or whether they're really bonded and feeling more comfortable or secure with the child that they're working with. And that's really a starting point for us. There's also some familiarity, of course. As you know, in many cases, the cats are at home and they might be comfortable there, but now they're in a new setting. They're in our lab setting as we're sort of engaging in this particular project. So what we want to make sure that they're comfortable as well as the kids. That's, of course, really important too, that they're comfortable in that setting with the cat too. But everything you're sharing, yeah, cats are very trainable. I have two at home and they now use cat backpacks, believe it or not.
Well, I understand that working on this study has actually had a sort of a personal impact on you. And you've added quite a number of pets to your own home.
I have, yes. So I've been working with Monique, my Dr. Udell, on this study, and others for much more than a decade now. And she's the human animal behavior specialist in our group, interaction specialist in our group. And my side of things, I'm always really coming at it from a physical activity perspective. So my background is around physical activity. But in the time frame that I have been working with Monique, we have rescued two cats and two dogs. And dogs were new to the home, so you're correct.
And how do the cats get along with the dogs?
They rule the roost, so they all get along. Yeah, the cats were there first, so they're definitely in charge.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Oregon State Professor Megan McDonald. She co-led a new study that links cat training to stronger bonds and improved social skills for kids with developmental disabilities. Now, Professor, one of the more fascinating details of the study is how you got the kids and cats active outdoors without the cats just running away.
Yeah, so that's something that's really important to me. So again, my background's in kinesiology, and one of the things that we know about people in general, but specifically children, is that we're having this like issue with physical activity behavior. So it's lower than we would expect. And the good news when we're more active is that there are so many health-related benefits. I mean, the list, we could talk for the next 15 minutes just about what those benefits are, but things like physical health, mental health. When we look at children in general, and then we also look at children with developmental disabilities or more holistically children with disabilities, traditionally, their physical activity behaviors are a little lower. So all of my work has really been about how do we get kids to be more active? And how do we really move the needle a little bit so that this is a habitual behavior? Things like walking, things that we do every day. I mean, that's really important in terms of promoting our physical activity. So for me, that's a key part of this study. But you're right, how does that relate to cat-assisted training? So really where that comes to is part of the homework that the kids do. So they're spending a lot of time in training and continuing training at home, where they're doing things like teaching their cat to sit, but they're constantly really improving that bond too. We're also teaching the cat, the kids had a choice. So they could choose to learn how to use a harness, or they could choose the cat backpack, which is more popular. So the cat backpack, which is fully secured, it zips up, it has mesh, the cats can see, they can be outside. They're in the backpack often when the kids are maybe going for a walk around the block or spending 10 to 30 minutes, you know, doing something outside and walking with the cat. So we saw a big improvement in that, which in my opinion, in the work that I do, that's really moving the needle in terms of changing and improving physical activity behavior for children.
Well, Professor, in academic research, keeping participants fully engaged is notoriously difficult, and I'm sure you can attest to that. Mm-hmm. But you have 100% attendance rate with these children. How is that possible?
you know, I always am fascinated by the work that we do, and I think it's fun. And I think that's another key thing for all that we're doing is that while we're able to engage in this research, I think even the topic in this conversation, this is a really fun study. And it's not just fun for us. This is fun for the kids. This is fun for the cats. This is fun for the families in general. Kids are often taking more responsibility. And for some families, you know, they're able to introduce maybe a new animal to the home and a new opportunity for their child too, by bringing in a cat.
Well, what do you think made this program so uniquely motivating for them?
You know, I think cats are kind of having their moment. And I think that what we really see too, so the kids in the study were 8 to 17 years old. And I think her average age was, it was somewhere around, I think it was around 13 years old, give or take. And so sometimes we'll also see, you know, some peer relationships changing around that age, things. But our connection with our animals, I mean, that's so important to our health. It's our connection to people too is so important to our health. So having this other opportunity, something in the home that you can train for to see real results in your cat too. I mean, that's exciting. That's really fun. In addition, and this is my perspective, I'm not sure everyone would always agree with this, but I think about their responsibility for all animals is really, really important. At my house, you know, often I have to make sure I'm home within 7 or 8 hours to make sure that I can take the dogs out. Whereas with the cats, if I'm a couple hours late, that's okay. So there's sort of a different level of responsibility too, in some cases with cats. And I think this is really opening some doors for some people that maybe didn't have that animal assisted active intervention opportunity before something like this study.
Well, you're mentioning some unique advantages that cats offer families, especially when considering things like housing and their various routines and the overall cost of just maintaining the animal. And of course, if people are living in apartments, you can't have dogs there.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's often more common that you're allowed to have cats when animals are allowed in a rental or an apartment or something like that. You know, maybe your house doesn't have a fenced-in backyard or some of the other things that are really opportune when you have dogs in the home. The general cost, and again, I say this from my own perspective, the cats certainly cost us a lot less than our dogs. Even just, you know, vacation time, having someone pop in to help feed the cats versus boarding, or sometimes the additional expense of having someone to come in and watch the dogs too.
Well, tell me, after the 6-week program, what specific changes did you see in how the children handled their daily responsibilities and interacted with their cats?
Yeah, so most of the time, so walking was a big one and one that's really important to me. So we really saw that uptick in terms of children's walking behaviors, but also that joint activity that they were engaging in with their cats. And it's fun, right? Like it's something to talk about if you're out and about in the community or in your neighborhood and your friends see that you have a cat backpack and a cat in there. That's a fun conversational piece too. So those are things that are really important. But we also, generally speaking, when we have an animal in the home, the adults tend to take majority of the responsibility for some obvious reasons. So things like feeding the cat, grooming the cat, playing with the cat, cleaning up after the cat. So those are changes that we started to see, and we really saw an improvement with the kids. So their care for the cat, their responsibility, and then simultaneously, while all of that was happening, really strengthening or matching their secured bond with that cat. So the cat was turning more to the child or relying on the child for things versus, you know, this adult in the home and their reliance on that adult. And so that's really important. I mean, we know that responsibility transfers over to other responsibilities too. And that was exciting for us to find.
Well, we have about just a little less than a minute left. And I know your team videotaped and analyzed the cat's behaviors. What did the data show you?
Yeah, that their bonds became stronger as well, that they became more secure, that they became more social when this is happening too. So we see that when we're engaging with the cats, when we're like training them, their confidence also increases. And so simultaneously, while we're focused on the kid at times, we're really focused on this dyad, the child and the cat together. And holistically, we're just really excited that we're seeing such positive results and that that everyone's so interested to partake in it. We really think that there's opportunity in the future to extend this as well. So we're curious, now that we've done this and been so successful, we're curious about things like, is this a program that could be offered online to reach more people? Okay. But we're very excited about it.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to talk to you.